with my dad today. You ever have a need sometimes just to call your dad? I had a need to call my dad. I said, Dad, I got what I want to speak on tonight. And I said, I feel like God is leading me to do this. And I said, I just sense a need to come to the church and kind of help us see some things biblically tonight. I said, I've got some people and they are ecstatic and they're bouncing off the walls and they're celebrating the election of Mr. Obama. And then I've got some people that are like dead man walking. I said, they've stayed up all night. They can't eat. They've already moved their money out of their bank account. They're looking at realtor.com in Sweden to where they could move. And they've already begun to buy guns or bullets, and they're moving, putting. I said, I got people from one extreme all the way to the other. I said, please tell me I'm not the only church that has this. He says, Tom, I got the same thing going on up here. And so I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, I wrote down and I preached a message on Sunday. And I said, Dad, I said, I'm going to 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, well, I went there too, but he said, let me send you a better message. I said, well, I don't need you to send your message. No, son, you need me to send my message. So I said, okay, send it. And he sent it by email, but I didn't check it. So pretty soon, the door opens up and Beverly hands me 2 printed off papers and said, Dad said, you give this to you. He knew I wouldn't look at that thing. But I got to reading his message and I thought, that's going to do great tonight. So I'm coming to preach my dad's message to you. I'm going to say something to you that I was late leaving today. Normally on Wednesday night, I try to get home and at least sit down, take a breath, wash my face, change my clothes, be able to come back and preach fresh to you. But I was late. And Mrs. Minard, God bless her, she always works late around here. And I come through one door, she comes to the other, and she kind of got shocked. She said, what are you doing here so late, Pastor? And I said, well, I'm preaching a message tonight that literally has the possibility to make everybody in the church mad. Every single person. And I said, I just kind of felt like I should stay a little longer and pray, to be honest with you. And she said, well, if you're going to make everybody mad, you might want to stay and pray a little longer. And so I want to preach a message tonight titled, The Day After the Election. A biblical viewpoint of what's going on in our country. And I'm going to preach a message to those that voted for Mr. Obama, and I'm going to preach a message to those of you that didn't vote for Mr. Obama. I'm probably going to make those of you that voted mad. I'm probably going to make those of you who didn't vote for him mad. This is an equal opportunity church, and we're going to get everybody. But I do promise you this. You've known me 7 years. I have never preached to you anything that you couldn't see in this book. Not in 7 years have I ever done it. And the day I ever do it, you should probably go someplace else. But I'll preach to you from the book tonight some things that I think we ought to see and understand and where we go from here, what God is doing in our nation, what God is doing in his own plan, why God doesn't want for his people to party over this event. Neither does he want us to pout. Right now we've got people partying, fine. I got people pouting, okay. But God said we shouldn't do either one of them. So hang in with me till the end. If you got to go to the bathroom, you better just cross your legs, because if you stand up, I'm going to think you're mad, and you'll be on the prayer sheet on next Wednesday night for your whatever. All right, Daniel chapter 2. Let's go to verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. You remember, because nobody could interpret the dream, they were going to slay all these wise men. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Their lives are in jeopardy. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what would we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's manner. And so we find in Daniel chapter 2 here, in the midst of a very treacherous and dangerous time in Daniel's life, where his life is in jeopardy, Daniel gives to us one of the greatest descriptions of the power of God, in the hand of God, in the mind of God, the heart of God, and the ability of God that has ever been found in Daniel chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. And in the midst of that description, in verse number 21, we read the words, he removeth kings, or those were, that's leaders, and setteth up kings. I know what you might be thinking if you're ahead of me in your thought process. Well, Pastor, if God sets up kings and God removes kings, why do we vote? Why'd you tell us to vote? If God is the one that orchestrates the leadership in our in every area, not just our country, but in every country, if God is the one that orchestrates leadership, why do we vote? If that's what God does, I think a good example of why we vote is the same reason we go soul winning or we witness Christ. Not everybody that we witness Christ to is going to be saved, but it is our responsibility to witness Christ. So we go and we tell and we preach and we do our part, and then the saving is up to God. Same reason that we go and we vote and we pray. But it is God who sits on the throne. It is God who is in control. And according to Daniel chapter 4, and if you would look at verse number 24 and verse number 25, I want you to read these phrases with, or these verses with me. Look at verse number 24 of Daniel chapter 4. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. We know this was a prophecy to Nebuchadnezzar, who became a beast and for 7 years until he was humbled. And look at verse 25 at the end. Till thou know that the Most High, capital H, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and what's the next word? Giveth it to whomsoever, say those two words, he will. So we go, we pray, we vote, we study, we do our part. But when it comes to who's in leadership, God is the one that sits on a throne and he is in control. And God gives leadership to whomsoever he will. Pastor, I need more help than that. Well, I'm going to give you four thoughts. And these four thoughts are applicable to those that are celebrating the election of Mr. Obama and those of you that are distressed by the election of Mr. Obama. And by the way, let's just be real clear, and I better get a good amen on this or I'm going to lose my mind. More than we are Democrat or Republican, the people in this room are united brothers and sisters in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. So here, take these four thoughts. Number one, God's will was done last night. God's will was done last night. Pastor, I cannot believe that you would say that. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. You see, it is God that sets up the king. It is God that removes the king. God has his will in these matters. Understand that God is working all things to come under the authority of his Son. God has an eternal plan that he is orchestrating that will bring worship and praise to his Son, which eventually will bring worship and praise to him as well. He's bringing all things under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Understand that something so important, so crucial, and so critical as the President of the United States. And by the way, we live in the greatest country on earth. It amazes me. Pastor Jay and Randy go to the public schools. They go to two of them. I can't remember the name of them. In both schools, Pastor Jay stood before a classroom of students and was teaching and said, by the way, don't we live in the great, is not America the greatest country on earth? And both classrooms gave a resounding no. No. In our own public school classrooms, both classrooms said, no. Jay said, Tom, I about fell over. He said, I didn't even know what to do. He said, I got mad, and then I had to calm down. And then he says, I gave them a history lesson from the Civil War to the present. All right. So something so important, so crucial, so critical as the leader of our nation, who in our nation being the leader of the free will, of the free world, let me tell you something. God is not going to leave that to the chance vote of people. Understand, he has a plan. He has a direction. He is taking us according to his will. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 says that all authority and all leaders are ordained of God. So it's not happenstance or chance. It is God's will. Let me tell you, I went to bed last night and I went to bed with peace. I've worked myself to peace prior to that, but I got to a position where, hey, this is God's will. Now, some people that you might be here and you say, Pastor, I voted, so last night I was real happy and I know it to be God's will. Well, there's some people here and you're struggling and you think, good night, the whole place is going to go crazy and the whole world is going to pop, and it couldn't have been God's will. Let me tell you, it was God's will. And you ought to be strong enough to find rest in the position of trusting God's will. So if you stayed up all night last night, you sure wasted a good night to sleep. The weather is beautiful. Some of you haven't eaten all day. And you can hardly stand up. You're sick. You're morbid. You're weak. Let me tell you something. Understand that God is working our world. Eventually, our own nation toward a one world government and a one world economy. Okay. Boy, I got so many thoughts coming, Lord. You got to slow them down. Slow them down. Just a minute. We think that God's plan is going to include the America that was founded 200 years ago. Let me tell you, God has had a plan for our country. And God has blessed our country. I believe it's because we have loved him. We have preached his word and all of this. But when you get to the end of the book of Revelation, you don't recognize the America that was founded. You don't. It's not the same America. Every single nation, including our nation, will say, crucify Israel. Every one of them. Our nation, along with the world, is going to line up and follow the Antichrist. Now, praise God, I'll never do that. I'm getting raptured out of here. Okay? But our world is. So God is not interested at all in what kind of America we leave to our children. When in the world did America become the banner of the church? I thought Christ was our banner. But all of a sudden, I keep hearing people, and those people that, those of you that voted for Mr. Obama, and those of you that didn't, those that voted for him, yes, praise God, he's going to take us to the America that we want. Those over here are saying, well, man, praise God, what kind of America are we going to have? Who cares about that? We're so interested. Pastor, I want to leave a great America for my children. Let me tell you something. Where do you find that in the book? Nowhere does God ask us to leave a great America. He asks us to leave a legacy of Christ. Christ? What? Well, Pastor, America has to be free. Where do we get that? Where in the world do we get the fact that America has to be free for Christ to be preached? It's a great blessing that America is free and that Christ can be preached, but we're so concentrated on the fact that we've got to have our freedom and we've got to have this and we've got to have this for the cause of Christ. I got news for you. Jesus Christ works in any culture, any country, and any civilization. Our world doesn't, our nation doesn't have to be free for Christ to be exalted. Matter of the fact, I would submit to you, our freedom has led us to a materialistic viewpoint so much that Christ is not being preached. And it may help us a little bit to suffer so we would turn our eyes once again to the Lord Jesus. But if you're so burdened about the America you're going to leave behind, you need to look at your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors, and worry about where they're going to spend eternity. Biblical viewpoint. Biblical. And so we had two men run. We prayed, we studied, we voted. Some voted for, some voted against. We went to those polls, and God's will was done. Because God said, I set them up and I take them down. You don't have to like that, but you have to lump it. Pastor, don't you care about our country? Yes, sir. I do care about our country. Pastor, aren't you concerned about your children? Yes. Pastor, you sound so flippant. Let me tell you what I'm not. I'm not fearful. When in the world, where do God's people find a reason to fear in the book? But we're so afraid. We're so fearful. And we think, and I'm going to go one step further here. You're going to, whew, man. Good thing we have auto payment or I wouldn't get paid tomorrow. Let me just decipher a little bit our terminology. What kind of America are we leaving? What kind of America do we have? Don't we have to be free? If we wanted to lump all those together, it would sound something like this. I don't want to lose what I have. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want to lose my money. I don't want to lose my cars. I don't want my lifestyle to have to change. And let me tell you something. Christians can be just as materialistic as an unsaved person can be. And I'm afraid that behind in the motive of a lot of that is a materialism. We're afraid of losing the things we have. We're afraid of our dollar being devalued. We're afraid of our retirement being shrinking. We're afraid of this kind of stuff. And so we're kind of all of a sudden we have exalted America as our provider and protector and provision. Let me tell you something. The American dream doesn't do anything for you. Jesus Christ has done it all. He's done it all. So God's will was done. Can I explain? I'm not God. You're not God. Well, Pastor, they shouldn't have voted or they should have voted. And we start looking at each other. Let me tell you something. The Bible says don't look at your brother. I'm not going to give an account for the way Lillard voted, but Lillard will give an account. He won't give an account for the way I voted, but I'll give an account. So I prayed and I voted. I asked you to pray and you voted and you did. We'll all stand and give an account. But make no bones about it. Daniel chapter 2, God's will was done last night. So I think we ought to just trust his will. Number two. It's not time to party. It's not time to pout. It's time to pray. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Come on, I want to hear him rustle a songbook page. Do something. Let me know you're going there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, by the way, this book was written to a young preacher boy, and it was written to a young preacher boy to tell him how to lead his congregation. Don't think I don't take great encouragement from this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For, say the word, verse number 2. For who? For kings and for all that are in what? Authority. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Quiet from the outside, that word lends with outside distraction. Peaceable from inside, in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. All right? So the Bible instructs for us to pray. It instructs for, if you voted for Mr. Obama, there's no, partying is not enough for you. And if you didn't vote, pouting isn't right. God wants for us to pray. Now, if God put his man in there according to God's will, God says, pray. Jesus said, pray the will of heaven upon where, class? Earth. So what does prayer do? Prayer brings the will of heaven down on earth. So let me give you some things we ought to be praying for him. Number one, we ought to pray for him as a man. Pray for his soul. Pray for his wife. Pray for his children. We need to pray, according to these verses, that the president would help us to live in peace. He says, pray that we may live a peaceable life. Now, we should pray that we have peace so we can continue to preach the gospel. We'll preach it whether we have peace or we don't. But we ought to pray that the plans and the organizations that he puts in will enable us to have a peaceable life. Pray that he will not hinder the freedom to proclaim the gospel in our great country. Pray the president will desire God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that he turns to God for guidance and wisdom and courage and salvation. All of these things, we are to pray for him. Pray for him. Pastor, I just can't pray for that man. Then you're sinning against God. You're sinning against God. Because God said we ought to pray for. By the way, does anybody know who was the ruler when Paul was writing? Nero. Now let me tell you something. I heard a lot of things said about Mr. Obama. Mr. Obama is not even in the same universe as a man like Nero. You get you a history book and you read about Nero. And Paul is telling the young preacher boy to tell his church to pray for Nero. Wow. Wow. And they didn't say, well, we just can't pray for that man. Let me tell you something, that's a sin against God. You can believe me or not believe me. And God gives us a direction where we are to pray. We're to pray for his soul. We're to pray that we live in peace. We're to pray that he not hinder the freedom to proclaim the gospel. We're to pray that his desires would be of God's desires. We're to pray he turns to God for guidance, wisdom, courage, and salvation. And let me just say this. Understand this. Our president is not our spiritual leader. He's our political leader. We've kind of gotten this idea that somehow the president is to be our spiritual leader. Let me tell you, you know who's to be the spiritual leader of your home? Your husband or your dad. Or a woman that's not married, and then she would have that leadership. But we're looking at our political leaders for spiritual leadership, and they've never been able to provide spiritual leadership. Let me just give you a little bit of thought process here. People look to leaders for what they can get. Leadership, provision, protection, guidance. Somehow in our mind, Church people have shifted their thinking away from the leadership of the Lord Jesus as the leader and the Spirit of God, and we've begun to put them on our political leaders. Let me tell you something. Our political leaders are not spiritual leaders. They're political leaders, and they need our prayer. I know. A little sugar helps the medicine go down. Number three. Never has it ever been, neither is it right now, nor will it ever be, where a president is the answer to our problems. Never, ever, from George Washington. I couldn't say them all in order. I'm not even sure I know who number two is, but George Washington, all the way to Barack Obama, including Abraham Lincoln, all the way through, never has a presidential human man been the answer to man's problem. Only one man has ever been the answer, and that's the God man. And so we look at that. Let me give you an example of what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 2. Come to Daniel chapter 2. Hold your head. I don't think I'm coming back to 1 Timothy. Go back to Daniel chapter 2. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 13. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Now look at verse number 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the, say those three words, God of heaven. You see, when Daniel was at the life-threatening point and his life was in danger, he didn't turn to any man to help him. He turned to God to help him. Our people, if we're not careful, both those that have voted for Mr. Obama and those who didn't vote for him, whether you voted for him thinking, well, he's going to handle all of our problems, or you look at him as thinking he's only going to create us problems, or he's not going to help me in my problem, whether he's going to help or he's not going to help, why in the world would church people, saved Christ-loving people, put their eyes on any man to solve their problems other than the one who died for us? How did we become so weak? How did we become so blind? How did we become so simple? What happened to church-going people? That we look to save people, that we look at a human as able to provide our problems. Let me tell you something. I'm not sure why anybody would want to be president. Man, we have so many problems. Did you see a picture of Mr. Obama 4 years ago? Have you noticed a change in the man? He was young and his hair wasn't gray, and man, I look at him now and I'm like, you got to be kidding. I remember President Bush at the end of 8 years, totally different. The amount of pressure on these men just destroys their physical body. Why in the world would anybody want to be the president of the United States? We have so many problems. But our real problem has become that we have become to look at our president as the solver of our problems. Listen, the president doesn't pay our mortgage. The president doesn't provide our food. The president doesn't provide worth for us. Everything we have comes through Jesus Christ. Now, I will say the president can help. I will say that he is the most influential man in our country. I wouldn't want to be him. I'm glad for checks and balances. Their hands are tied. One people want to do this, they want to do that. I'm glad for some of that. But the president, whether it would have been Mr. Romney or is Mr. Obama, the president ain't the answer to our problems. Let's just talk about our problems. How many years have we had racial problems? We still have racial problems. Has any president fixed racial problems? No. You know what fixes racial problems? Jesus Christ changing our hearts. Amen. Let's take the crime problem. They were talking to the new sheriff of Broward County. And he's, I'm going to come in and I'm going to do a great job on crime. Let me tell you, I'm glad for law enforcement. Law enforcement contains crime, but law enforcement can't change hearts. Jesus changes hearts. We got problems. Let's take the education problem. People think, well, let's solve it with money and more teachers. Oh, how often did we hear more teachers, more teachers, more teachers, more teachers? Let me tell you something. Put a billion teachers in there, but until you put God back in our schools, we're done for. We're done for. It's not teachers that fix problems. God fixes problems. It's not the president who fixes our problem. God fixes our problem. So you voted and hooray, all my problems. And you're over here thinking, oh no, none of my problems. Why don't you fall on your knees, lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for being the answer to my problems. Take our eyes off of those guys. What have we done? What about morality problems? Man, we got, the president isn't the answer to our problems. You read 2 Kings and you hear Elisha describe Elijah and you read about the man of God and the preaching of God's word. Listen, it wasn't politicians that led those people to the promised land. It was spiritual leadership. The problem with America is not Mr. Obama or Mr. Romney. The problem in America is we don't have churches that preach this book anymore. How many of you had to look for a church before you came to this one in our community? This is a stupid question for a preacher to ask. This is rhetorical. Go look for a church around here. Take your Bible. See if you have to open it. The problem and the reason that three of our states voted to legalize homosexual marriage And the reason that our nation is voting for all of this is because nobody's preaching, thus saith the Lord. So our nation as a whole is moving in a direction that's away from God's word. It hurt me when they booed at that convention about the name of God. But don't think the Republicans are any more spiritual because they have God in their word. They're just as unspiritual as anybody else. Any man without Christ is in that position. But we don't have people preaching being born again and holiness and living according to the word of God. And so did you see the exit polls and how they were working those exit polls and the percentage of people don't even go to church that were voting now? Our nation is headed in a direction that's totally away from God. By the way, God said it would do that. God said it would do that. And so it's just lining up. Mr. Obama looks right in the camera and tells a lie. Mr. Romney looks right in the camera and tells a lie. And all of these people believe Mr. Obama, and all of these people believe Mr. Romney. Don't you read in the Bible that immediately after the rapture, God shall send them strong delusion and the people will believe a lie? It's already happening. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And so that spirit of Antichrist is already working amidst. The only thing that's restraining is the spirit of God through the church. But you can already see how the world will head in a direction just like God said it would happen. And by the way, you and I that know the Lord Jesus, we will be raptured just like God said it would happen. So, whoa, man. I want to be careful because I don't want to be flippant. I sure don't want to say anything God doesn't want me to say. If you have a spirit of panic right now, and you're reorganizing your whole life, what in the world are you doing? Somebody said, we're in big trouble. I said, I know. By the way, did you get invited to God's funeral on Friday? What'd you say, Pastor? I said, yeah. Did you get that invitation to God's funeral on Friday? Pastor, I'm asking a serious question. Did you get invited to God's funeral? Well, God doesn't die. Amen. He ain't dead. Man, crazy. Number four. God is in control, and God knows the future. Let me say it this way, because we're all worried about the future. Those that voted for Mr. Obama think, well, Mr. Obama is going to take us in the 4 years to someplace in the future. It's going to be great. Those that didn't were terrified of the next 4 years for the future. Let me give you something that will help you understand the future. Here's where you trust. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let me tell you, I was thinking about next presidential election, I'll be 43, going to be 44 years old. That hurt me something fierce. And we try to think about what our country's going to be like. Listen, Jesus is already there. He already knows. Your future is not as bright because Mr. Obama is president or because Mr. Romney would have been president. To those of us that know the Lord Jesus, our future is bright based on the holiness and the graciousness of God and the wonderful power of His promises. Your future's bright because you have the promise of God's book. You have the promise of God. Good times or bad times. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. We're coming out of the office, and this just fits in the illustration. I'm sorry, but God, let me hear it. We're talking about Social Security. Well, we're going to get raised 2%. We're going to get taxed all of this and all of this. Let me tell you, if they taxed me 100%, I think Jesus could still take care of me. Amen. Don't do that to me. It's hard enough having Beverly tax me 80%. Pays dividends. Do you get the heart of your preacher? If so, would you say amen? Amen. What in the world happened to us? It was God's will. God put Mr., and I call him Mr., don't call him all the things you guys send me emails about, Mr. Obama in office. God did it. Praise God. God did it. I need to pray for the man. I need to understand that no man is the answer to the problem. The God man is the answer. And as far as my future, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Stop worrying about what kind of America we're going to have. Let me ask you a question. Who in the world have you won to Christ? Amen. Let's talk. If we really want to get down and talk about it, what does it matter if your kid goes to hell from a strong America? What does it matter what kind of America we leave? I want to leave I'll tell you what. We'll leave a strong America if we leave a legacy of Christ. We've got the cart before the horse. So we got born again, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving people, worried about what kind of America we're going to leave, and we won't even walk across the street and tell our neighbor, we won't even witness to our family, we haven't want anybody to cry, we don't hand out you need your preacher to look you in the face and say, we need to just trust God. Okay. Do I need to get a U-Haul and leave town, or can I preach on Sunday? All right, let's preach on Sunday. So, could I just say some things? Stop writing on Facebook your opinion. I get on there, and I look at your opinion, and then I look at the opinion of somebody responding to you. And could we just remember, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. None of us are God. None of us are God. So stop defending the character of Mr. Obama. I believe Mr. Obama needs to be saved. Claims he's a Christian. His actions are anti-Christian. Was Mr. Romney a Christian? Have you read what a Mormon believes? He ain't a Christian either. So we're okay. We're okay. God didn't die. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And God's people said, amen. All right, let's pray.